1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm going to read the first four verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, listen, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. As we look at Thessalonians, this was a church that was dealing with suffering. There was hardships. There was, if you read the entire, I read it last night. Now listen, I'm not a fast reader, but I read it last night myself from beginning to end in 23 minutes. I timed myself. And in 23 minutes, I read all five chapters, and in it you find that Paul continuously says, I thank God for you because of what you're doing in the church. It says a lot of a church that's going through suffering and people that are going through suffering for a man of Paul's caliber and for a man of Paul's, if you will, calling to say, I'm thankful that the church at Thessalonica is there in Thessalonica. It says something for a community and for people in the community to be thankful that a church is in its existence. Amen? You with me? And so as I have studied on Thessalonians, and I've studied in modern day, and as I have prayed through this, I've done a lot of research this week. Before this week, but now it's all coming to a head. And in the modern world, there are four different types of churches, categories that I'm going to give to you this morning. Now, if you're a member of Mount Carmel Baptist Church, raise your hand. Are you with me? Keep your hand up. If you're not, put your hand down. All right, you're with me. Good, good. Because I'm going to say something, some things this morning that I hope convicts you to death, and at the end, we're in the altar. Because the truth of it is this, is it has me this week. Paul was a missionary. Paul was responsible for getting the gospel to the modern world then, which enabled it to be given to the modern world today. As Paul gave his life to reach the people with the gospel, he reached out to the modern world, and churches were established because of the ministry of the man Paul. And in our day and time, just as in Paul's day, and just as in John's day in the book of Revelation, there are churches that some are getting it and some are not getting it. Some are effective and some are ineffective. Some are sailing. Listen to what I'm about to say. Some are sailing and some are staying afloat. You understand what I mean by that? And as I begin to read, you read Revelation, there is the letter to the churches, the letters to the churches that John was encouraged and instructed by Christ to write individual letters. And in those letters, Jesus would say, this is what's good, this is what's not so good, and here's the choice you have to make. Well, these letters, the letters to the Thessalonians, to the Galatian church, the Ephesian church, the letters to the Corinthian church, they all, I believe, show these four categories of churches. I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to end with the positive. I like ending on a positive note, don't you? And now, listen, I'm not going to be Debbie Downer, or however you want to say that. I'm not going to be Debbie anything. But I'm not going to be a downer this morning, but I am going to deliver to you some truth. And sometimes truth is difficult to deal with. Amen? Four types of churches that I believe that we can categorize modern churches. And then I'm going to end with the last one, which points us to Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, there were things that were going on there, even though it was a booming church, even though it was a growing church, even though I'm going to categorize it as a dynamic church, even as it was dynamic and going forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as God was using it like He should, there were still things. And that's why Paul wrote the second letter. The second letter was because there was some false teaching creeping in. So I want to deal with things this morning. Number one, the first church in the modern world is what I'm going to call a dying church. A dying church. In the book of Revelation, you don't have to turn there, Revelation chapter 3, Jesus called the church at Sardis a dead church. These things has saith He that hath the seven spirits and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. A dying church. Now let me tell you something here too. You may say, preacher, but the Bible says the church will never die. Listen, we are a part of something bigger than just individual congregations. We're a part of something much bigger than local assemblies. But the fact of it is, the believers that make up the body of Christ, or the ecclesia, the called out ones, are in essence going up, and always have been and always will be going up. But there are local individual assemblies that are missing it, and they are not going up by means there are some that are dying or are dead. Some characteristics of a dying church is a church not reaching the younger generation. There is a group called millennials that are not coming to church. Between the ages of 18 and 35, they're not coming to church. The reason they're not coming to church is because there's nothing real in church. Most of them have a naturalistic viewpoint. Most of them have a materialistic desire. And so they're wanting their education. They're wanting to build a career. They're establishing a family. And by the time they turn 35, then they realize, I've got children, I need to get back to church so that they can at least get something like I did growing up. But that group of people are leaving church. And a dying church is a church that just watches them go out the door. Now, I want to say this to you this morning. I don't believe we're a dying church. Listen, a dying church, there are no babies. But a dying church is one that does not reach out to the younger generation. They have no growth. There's no newborn. There's no children. Listen, we've got children. We're not dying. A dying church is one that has no plan. And because they have no plan, they're planning to fail. You said, preacher, what are you talking about plan? I thought we were supposed to go by the Holy Ghost. Listen, a church needs to have a plan to reach people that are lost and dying and reach out and become fishers of men. But a church with no plan is planning to fail and therefore is a dying church. Sardis was a church that they had a name. People knew their name. But the fact of it was they were dead. A church that is a dying church is also a church that's hung up on yesterday. The past will do nothing but drag you down. Amen? If it was bad, it'll defeat you every day you try to live with it. If it was good, listen, a race won yesterday, a victory won yesterday, is not sufficient to allow you to win a fight or a race that needs to be run today. Learn from your past, grow from your past, live in the present, and look forward to the future. That's the hope that is founded in Jesus Christ. He's done a work in me, He's doing a work through me, and He's going to do a work for me coming one day. That's what we have as a lively hope, Peter called it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. that's founded in Christ, as Paul told the Thessalonican church. Thank God for hope. As long as there's hope, there is no dying. Amen. He said, we have a hope in Jesus Christ. But a dying church is one that's hung up on the past. A dying church is also one that is against change. Here's where I'm going to lose something. But when we start changing things, people get upset. Now listen, before anybody gets upset, I'm not talking about changing fundamentals. Amen? I believe if you change fundamentals, you'll get to the third type church I'm talking about, and you will fail if you change fundamentals. I believe we need to stay in the blessed blood. Say amen.
Amen.
I still believe that we need to preach the blood, because it's only through the blood that men are saved. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I still believe we need to exalt Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, there is no hope. There is no help. There is no trust or anything to get us through today or through tomorrow if you don't exalt Jesus Christ. But a dying church is one that says, well, we ain't never done it that way. And listen, you know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. Sometimes you've got to change some things. Times have changed. Amen? We were driving up the road yesterday, and listen, the worst part of vacation is the long drive home. Amen? I felt like I'd been in that car for 12 hours. I would have hooked that Toyota to a jet plane if it would have just dropped me off somewhere within the vicinity of Gouges Creek. But I looked over at Jesse and I said, could you imagine this ride from the beach to the house in a horse-drawn buggy? How would you like that? First time I ever remember my wife ever say, oh, must be about like that. But could you imagine? Could you imagine? Hey, listen, times change. Amen. I'm thankful for it. I looked coming through Durham. It was 94 degrees on the outside. And it was a cool 62 degrees. And air conditioning still blowing on the inside. Thank God for some modern things. Amen. But a church that's dying is one that says, we're not going to change. We're going to stay the way we've always been, because we're hung up on the past. Sometimes you've got to make changes. Amen. Sometimes you've got to look at things differently. Amen? Here's you another example. Yesterday we were cleaning out the refrigerator. We had done a little fishing while we were down there. And there was some shrimp, Avery. And there was some squid, the bucket in the refrigerator. We'd used it for fish bait while we were fishing down there at the beach. That you can take a boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Get me around big water. I know there's big fish in it. So we went down there and fished. I looked at Ty and I said, you want to take this squid with you? Uh-uh. And I said, trap don't bite it, do they? And he said, no. What would have worked down there? You listen to what I'm saying? What would have worked down there in that salt water wouldn't have worked up here. And listen, you can't take a Panther Martin down there and catch something down there with it. Amen? Sometimes you've got to be willing to say, let's look at this and let's change what needs to be changed. Church. Can I say that? Number two, listen to me, is a declining church. As I begin to stay and pray over this, now listen to me, this is a slow fade decline. It's been defined as a slow erosion or deterioration. It's evident as you look out around the physical building of the local assembly. When things begin to decline slowly, it's not as noticeable. It just kind of, you get complacent. And you look around and you just kind of, well, and this is the attitude of a declining church. Well, things are going to get worse and worse, and that's just part of it. As the world gets worse, the church ought to get better. Amen? As things begin to go downhill on this earth, we need to know and look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Listen, let me tell y'all something. If you watch the news, the bombs are falling in Israel. Have you seen what's going on to God's people? Let me tell you something. I'm not happy about it, but I'm starting to get my bags packed. Amen. I begin to think this week. Hey, listen. Hey, some people, I need to make sure know who Jesus is. I need to make sure I present the gospel to them. As things get worse, and as times, if you will, get darker, the church ought to be shining brighter. Amen? Just because, listen, some of the economy's tanked. Well, praise God, He's not a part of our economy. Our God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in almighty glory. He holds the cattle on a thousand hills, and He causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine to grow the grass, so let them cows have something to graze on. Around. A declining church puts missions and ministry on the back burner so that it can maintain what it's got. You say, preacher, I just don't agree with that statement. When it comes this time of year, a lot of times we're scrounging to find people to fill in holes. Why? Because there's a hole to be filled. We're looking at our financial statement. And it's based not on faith, but a lot of times, and this is at homes too, but it's not based on faith and doing what God wants us to do, but it's based on bank accounts, stock markets, and economy, and what's going on in the world around us. Nowhere in the Word of God, do you find God blessing anything based on the world, but you find a cat after account, after account, after account, where He blesses everything based on faith. That's a good place to say amen. Because when God sees faith in action, He moves. Want to draw nigh to, want to see God move? Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. They're not about missions. They're not. They want to do it. Now, I'm not saying that they want to do something. But instead of stepping out by faith, listen. It takes faith to do Walnut Avenue Bible School, Walnut Avenue Apartments Bible School. It takes faith to do Bible school inside of our own church because you have to feed, you have to make decorations, and God's blessing it and blessing it and blessing it. The want to's there, but the faith to step out by action, and that's when it begins to decline. We're more about staying afloat than we are about being fishers of men. We're talking about a declining church. Now, I want to stay right here for just a minute. I got about 15 minutes, 10 minutes. I'm trying to hurry. A declining church is one that wants to, but fear rules. Some even call it common sense. There is no faith in common sense. Look at Moses. He had an experience with God on the backside of the mountain in a burning bush. And God said, you've been a convicted murderer in Egypt. Go back in there and tell Pharaoh, let the people go. Common sense was said, you're right. And he would have went right back to playing with the sheep and hurting his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. But guess what he did? By faith, he said, okay, I'll go. By faith, I'll go. Those three boys that were there at the fiery furnace, common sense would have said, bow down your head. Don't say a prayer. Just appear to be praying and acknowledging that idol. Go back home and ask for forgiveness. But don't get thrown in that furnace. But when that group laid down around them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood stiff-necked in the face of Nebuchadnezzar and said, whatever God wants, that's what we want. We will not bow down. And by faith, God didn't just deliver them out of a fiery furnace, but He fellowshiped with them while He was in there. And the Bible says that He saw a fourth man walking amongst the coals of the flame. And He looked at him and He said, I see one like unto the Son of God. That's when faith steps in. Old Daniel could have just kept the door closed when he prayed.
But after they made that decree, he flung it open, and just like he had done every day before, by faith in Jesus Christ and by faith in his God above, he knelt down in that window sill and he prayed. When they threw him into that lion's den, guess what Daniel didn't do? He didn't cry and beg for mercy, but he just waited for God to move. And when Darius rolled that stone away and said, Daniel, he said, oh king, don't you be afraid. My God has sent his angel and has closed the mouth of the lion, and your servant is not harmed. That's what faith can do when you step out on faith. And a declining church says, I just don't know about this place. It's a good idea. Hard to practice. It's a good thought. I just don't know. A declining church. Listen. I don't want to be a part of that, do you? I mean, okay, listen. My prayer was last night, this morning in Sunday school class, and while I was praying before, God let us get where the rubber meets the road. Amen. I don't want to be a part of something going down. Do you? I mean, listen. I talked to the first mate on the boat Tuesday evening. 8 to 10 foot swells. We were going up and down, up and down, up and down. That old boy looked at me and he said, let me tell you something. That man up there in the wheelhouse, he's got to go down with this ship. And he said, let me tell you something. I don't. He said, I'm just a mate. And he said, if this jumper starts going down, you best not be with arms distance of me, because I'm going to throw you overboard and I'm going to chunk you out of this thing so that my captain can get out, because ain't nobody wants to go down with the ship. Hey, listen, that's our attitude, isn't it? I don't want to be a part of something going down. And so what do? We work to make it go up. Amen. Those boys and the disciples, when the boat was going under and the storm was waging, they didn't jump ship. They bailed water to keep it afloat. And when they got Jesus in the boat, they put their bails down and started to raise their hands and say, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves will obey him? You with me? A declining church. Gotta hurry. A declining church will go down out of lack of motivation and a loss of vision. I believe sometimes we forget what it means to be lost. Casey, you put something very, very helpful to me on your Facebook page. You was around some people that were obviously lost. We've been around some men this week. Obviously, they were lost. Either that or they lost sight. A church will begin to decline when we lose sight of our purpose. And our purpose is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Amen? Number one, a dying church. Number two, a declining church. Number three, a dysfunctional church. Can I say this? I don't believe Mount Carmel is dysfunctional. Because a dysfunctional church is family owned and operated. I don't believe it that way. You? A dysfunctional church is one that walks away from sound theology. Listen, there's one good thing I can always say about it. And even, listen, I've even done research and the difficulties that's come and the splits that have taken place in the past at this church. Not a single time has it been over sound theology. Why? Because we have stood on the book from the very beginning, and I believe that's why we're still standing today. We believe in good, sound, biblical theology. Praise God right there. Amen. I don't believe we're dysfunctional. It's also a church that they walk away from you. Nobody wants to be together. Listen, a family don't just come together occasionally. You hang out together outside of church. Amen? And you work together outside of church. You know how things get cleaned up down around here? We come together and work. You know how things get done on the inside? We come together and work. But sometimes you just need to get together and break bread. Amen? I mean, listen. I made a statement to a person of that. Sometimes you need to go swimming just to get wet, not for any lessons. Amen? Sometimes you just need to do something just for the sake of doing it and having a good time. Amen? You with me? I mean, listen, that's the part. A dysfunctional church doesn't want to have anything to do with family and being together. All right, are you ready?
Let me say something to you. I'm trying to hurry. All of these first three churches, a dying church, a declining church, and a dysfunctional church, have a choice to make. They're all part of a bigger body of believers that's going up. Amen? That's a part of something that cannot fail. Amen? You believe that? Do you believe that the ecclesia, the called out body of believers, do you believe that they cannot and will not fail? Believe that? Every one of these churches have a choice to make. I can make a difference in what's going on and get a hold of the Holy Ghost and follow the leadership of Christ. Or I can stay where I am and continue to die or to decline or to be dysfunctional. And let me tell you what happens. When you begin to decline, eventually you'll die. And as you die, you will stop being able to function as a local body. I don't want to be a part of that. Do you want to be a part of that? No. Which leads me to the fourth category of church, which I believe is a Thessalonican church. Because of verse number 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. They work based on faith, out of faith, and through faith, and not based on what's going on around them. In the year, listen, when the Nazis came in and Nazi Germany began to try to exterminate the Jews, modern day Thessalonica, there was 60 to 70,000 Jews in that city, and Nazi Germany brought them everyone out and killed everybody. This place knows suffering and has forever, but they still said, I'm going to work out of faith in Jesus. Their labor of love. He said, you love God and you love people, and therefore you labor. The word labor, I can't remember the Greek word. Please excuse me for not being able to give it to you. But the definition of the Greek word here for labor means to toil, to sweat, but to continue on, even though it's hard work. I learned something, Burl and Hayfield. The more you sweat, the more you get done. There's one thing about it. Even when it gets harder, sitting there pouting about it don't put them hay bales up. Sometimes you got to say, preacher, what's the point of that? You know why I put them hay bales up? I want to feed my horse. I don't want to buy the bones and hooves. I want something I can put a saddle on and ride. And I'm talking about earthly things. But you think about, there was a man named Jesus that issued from Almighty God. The word only begotten means to issue from. Everything that God was, Jesus was. And he was begotten of the Father, came down to this earth, walked a sinless life, lived a sinless existence, walked up on Calvary, gave a spotless, sinless sacrifice to give us an inheritance incorruptible and it cannot be touched. But thank God he's set above in the heavenlies. And thank God, according to Peter, what we learned this morning, I have a hope to look forward to in his return. And if he loved me that much, dynamic church. There's three characteristics of a dynamic church. I've been preaching for 35 minutes. Give me a few more. Characteristics of a dynamic church. I believe the word dynamic means always active or changing, having or showing a lot of energy. Did you hear that? Active or changing, having or showing a lot of energy. That's a dynamic church. That's what was going on in Thessalonica. Now listen, I believe that a dynamic church is one that is continuously delivering the message. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Listen, there's a lot of stuff that will help us mature and make disciples. But the message that needs to be proclaimed is Jesus saves. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, you're saved because somebody was faithful to deliver the message. You were part of a church that was faithful to deliver the message. If
19 experience where you've asked Jesus to save you and you've been convicted of your sin, you fell down, repented of that sin, told God you were sorry, didn't want any part of it, wanted to be bought into His family, wanted to be led by Him as He is the shepherd and we are the sheep, and you want to be saved, and you never said, Jesus Christ, forgive me, come into my life, save me, and forgive me my sins, and you're lost and dying and going to hell, and I'm delivering the message to you right now. Until you have an experience with Jesus, or you ask Him to save you, you will not and have not ever been saved. You're not saved by good works. You're not saved by church membership. You're not saved by denominational alignment. You are only saved when you come through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
A dynamic church is one that delivers the message. It's one that's faithful to deliver the gospel every single time the chance is given. Whether it's in a Sunday morning service, whether it's a Wednesday night service, whether it's during Bible school, revival meeting, whether it's through an Easter egg hunt, or whether it's through a group of men coming together just to meet together to pray, and somebody walks by and they're lost and undone and say, what are you boys doing here tonight? And then share the gospel. A dynamic church is one that delivers the message. Number two, a dynamic church also delivers need. People today, Brad, you want to be a part of something meaningless or something that's going to add meaning to your existence?
Something that's going to add meaning.
He had no idea he was going to do that. Not even me. Nobody wants to be a part of something meaningless. I was sitting on the beach. Waves were just barely hit. It started deep. Have you ever started trying to dig in wet sand? It's an arduous task, isn't it? You work and you labor and you work and you labor. You go home, you come back. These boys dug a hole for my daughter that was taller, was deeper than she is tall. We come back out the next morning and my nephew Matthew looked at me. That's not Matthew, that's Tyler. Matthew went with us too. Matthew looked around, he said, where's the hole? I mean, you dig a hole waist deep and come back the next morning, there is no hole, no evidence of a hole, nothing sticking out, nothing being dig. Listen, that was meaningless, but you say, no, it wasn't meaningless. The labor singularly was meaningless. A dynamic church delivers meaning. You know that you have an existence that's pertinent to the cause and the gospel and the gospel of Christ? You know that you have a meaning. Colin, you know that you have a meaning in this great big world that an almighty God looked down and knew the day that you would be convicted of your sin and asked Him to save you, and He's got a plan and a purpose for you being here. You're not here just because your mom and dad decided, hey, we want a little boy. God's got a purpose and a plan for you. And a dynamic church is one that empowers and encourages and instructs people to know you've got a purpose on this planet and there's meaning to your life. If you didn't mean anything, He wouldn't have died for you. Can I say that again? If you didn't mean anything, He wouldn't have died for you. A dynamic church is one that delivers the message, one that delivers meaning. And can I say this thirdly? That a dynamic church is a church that also is a church that will work and labor out of love and faith in the deliverance of mankind at home and abroad. Follow me right there? A dynamic church is evangelistic minded. Fishers of men. Fishers of men. Bobby, I fished this week. Quite a bit. Went out twice on a boat to fish. All of this applies. Now follow me in this illustration, okay? When we went fishing on the salmon side right off of Harper's Island, Drew, I put shrimp on a little hook. I threw it out. I didn't care what bit. I just wanted to set the hook and catch something. Amen? That's a broad net cast across a broad ocean just to catch whatever will bite for the sake of fishing. There are times, like into this morning, where there are a mixed congregation where I preach and we will teach. Bible school's coming up and we're going to teach and we're going to cast a broad net and we're going to hope that children will receive the gospel and be saved. And as we pull in the net, then the Lord's going to be able to say, have you caught any meat? And we'll be able to say, yes. Tuesday and Thursday night, I went on a boat. And I went on that boat specifically looking for a shark. We make shark fishing. I didn't want to catch anything else but a shark. There was a fellow brought a squid in on Tuesday evening. Didn't care anything about the squid. I wanted something to eat the squid. My nephew Matthew caught something called a ribbon fish about this long. He got it up, shook his pole until it fell off. He said, I don't want that in the boat. That thing looks ugly. And he shook it and it fell off. And it come off and he went, I'm glad that didn't come in the boat with me. But we were specifically looking, you follow what I'm saying? For something specific that night, those nights, and that was shark fishing. God blessed us. Matt and Rebel catch one apiece. There are times. Walnut Avenue apartment ministry. Vacation Bible school at the apartments. Mission trips to Jamaica where you will do things specifically geared. Youth nights where you do things specifically geared to be evangelistic to a certain group. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
I'm almost done. That's what I want to be a part of. Don't you? Something that's delivering the message. A church that's delivering the message. Delivering me and helping in the deliverance of men. That's what I want to be a part of. Don't you? I don't want to come in and go for, oh, how I love Jesus. Put our money in a plate and go home and feel like I've done nothing but done my religious practice and my religious ritual and feel like, oh, I'm such a religious person. That's for the birds. That will deliver no meaning. And what that does is for the nominal Christian, allow him to church. So what? I went to church for 6 years before I got saved. I went to church for 2 years while I was running from my calling. And when I would call my dad, did you go to church this morning? Yes, Dad, I did. And I could name you the name of the church, but let me tell you something, there was no message being delivered other than the fact that you just keep going the way you're going, the grace of God will cover a multitude of sin, and the love of God will just see you through. And I was living in sin, I was living in disobedience, but I went to church. Millions. Listen, I'm not being ugly. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
I want to be a part of something dynamic, don't you? Don't you?
Yes. Amen.
I want to be a part of something where God is moving and working. Paul was writing to the Thessalonican church to encourage them and exhort them, and he was thankful for them. Let me ask you this question. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. If Mount Carmel Baptist Church was to close its doors this week, would Mitchell County miss her? Would people look around and say, man, I can't believe that church is closed down. They were a growing church. A church that was doing something. How can we be a dynamic church? I'm out of time. Shortly, I will preach this again. Possibly next week. How can we become a dynamic church? I want to give you these things. Dedication, determination, discipline, and discipleship. And those last two sound alike, but they're totally different. Alright? With me? I believe that a motto of a dynamic church is this: proclamation is essential, prayer is vital, and participation is expected. Proclamation is essential, prayer is vital, and participation is expected. That is the motto of a dynamic.